everybody, and welcome to the Theatre Pitch Podcast. My name is Jem, this is Joe.
Hey.
This is Sean.
Hey.
And this is the podcast where we take a random online encyclopedia article and we all individually pitch how we would turn it into a theatre show. Then at the end of the podcast, not at the end of the theatre show, but perhaps at both, we then take all three ideas and smush them together to try and create an ultimate idea. This week's article is, Joe, handing straight to you.
This week's article is El Dorado. El Dorado is the name given to an era, brackets 1949 to 1954, close brackets, of the Colombian Football League, during which the league broke away from FIFA. Although the Colombian national team and all domestic clubs were banned from international competition during this period, it is nonetheless considered the golden age of Colombian football. You get it? Because it's called El Dorado, like gold. And it's the golden age of football.
Yes.
In Colombia.
It's not any of the initial ideas of El Dorado. It is a football-skewed El Dorado. Sean, how did you find this one as the resident football fan?
Difficult. I spoke to Joe off mic, beforehand while we were waiting for you, Gemma. And I really struggle with live sport as a medium for like theatre. I have like a real mind block when trying to work out how to recreate that there for an audience, because like nothing beats mm-hmm. like watching live football nothing beats watching Chelsea bring on a keeper for a penalty shootout and then he missed the penalty that wins it for Liverpool. Nothing beats that live, so I didn't really know how to recreate this one. So it's not a good one from me. What was the question?
Just how did you find it? So how did you find it? / what's the joke that you've been desperately trying to insert into Sean's speech?
No, I was just going to say that we had a similar discussion to this the last time we talked about football. But also I was hoping Sean would pad this out for a bit longer so that I could actually look through our old episodes to remind myself when that was.
That's all right. I mean, football? I can do some padding.
I don't think it was actually when we talked about football. I think we talked about the difficulty of translating live sport.
We have
when we
about
spoke
it, yeah.
about the Zimbabwean national women's the field hockey team
at yeah.
the 1980 team. Summer Olympics.
You know it.
That was just going to be my contribution then.
Oh, fair enough. So how did you find the episode writing theatre show? I like that I'm starting off already with an aptitude with words.
I mean, as always, I remind you, you really shouldn't be asking me that question now, because that's assuming that, just ask me in 5 minutes when I've done my pitch.
Fair enough.
That's when you'll find out whether I've got an idea or not, and I will too.
I miss the days when I'd come to your improv shows and I'd just needlessly and incessantly offer the contribution of hamster.
It was needless, it was incessant.
But I've seen so many takes on what a hamster might be on stage. It gives me joy.
Yeah.
All right. I used to shout Power Rangers at him.
He did? You know what? I think we took hamster more than we took Power Rangers, to be honest.
Never took Power Rangers.
Always took hamster.
All right.
Yeah,
back to this podcast and not my other one.
Shall we get to the pitching? Who wants to go first?
I
want to go first.
I do.
I want to go first.
In which case,
this is the first time.
I want to go first.
This is the first time on this show that we've all been like, I want it. Give it to me. I want to go first.
If I go first, then people might forget how bad my idea is by the time they listen to your pitches.
Same. I'm trying to remember my pitch. I'm trying to keep it in my brain.
Right. I think as both of you two want to go first, the only fair thing is for me to go first.
I don't want to go first, though, Joe.
He's proper incepted us.
Okay, well, if Jem doesn't want to go first, Sean, why don't you go first?
Oh, sorry. Now I've got it, I'm feeling very nervous. Okay, so I'll tell you my process of, I read the article, and then I was like, and then I googled it, and I found that Tifo, great, great football YouTube channel, did a video on it.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, I'll watch that, because Tifo are brilliant. Watch that, and thought, this is the greatest time ever in football, what is going on? And then also thought, I have absolutely no idea how to turn this into a show, because there's so much going on. You know, you've got, like, a league going, like, we want to be professional, so we're going to make our own league. And then everyone going, no, you can't. And then them going, yeah, but you know what? We're gonna. And then FIFA like, no, no, we're FIFA. You can't do that. And then the league going, nah, nah, nah. We'll do it. We'll do it. And then they're like, we ain't going to follow your rules. We're just going to have whoever we want because, oh, it's crazy. And you've got all of that going on while there's a whole civil war going on in the country as well. I had absolutely no idea what to do. And I was like, oh no, this is going to be a really quick episode. So this is me padding it out because my idea is like so quick. Right. So
I'm so nervous because I'm like, oh no, don't say my idea.
I was thinking about, because I'm not going to concentrate on, my first idea was maybe pick like a footballer. Because like the whole thing was that this league weren't in FIFA, so they didn't have to follow the rules of basically, if he plays for us, we own his registration until you buy it, and then he plays for you. And that's basically the rules. Because they weren't in FIFA, they could just go, well, we'll have him play for our team. And then because they're not associated with FIFA, he could literally just be like, bye, I'm going to go play for these guys. And I thought maybe an English player would be really interesting to follow because at this point, get this, English footballers had a maximum wage. So when the English footballers were leaving the English league to go and play over in Colombia, yeah. They were like increasing their wages like five times. So like they were loving it. But then I thought, you know, it's not about the players. It's about the league itself. It's about the teams. So, anyone ever seen 12 Angry Men?
Yeah.
I hate the fact that you're going this way.
So, my idea came from, like, I can't remember how many teams there were in the league. I should really have it up. I should really make notes. But because this idea is so crap, it's just in my head. I was thinking that I'd have an actor or a character that represents each of these clubs. Basically, let's just say he's the chairman, and the whole idea of the play is it's just your bog standard play. I couldn't think of any, you know, there's no gimmicks. There's, you know, no gimmicks for me. It's just like, here's the stage, here's the table. And it's these guys plotting, like, we're going to come together. We're going to start this league, and it's going to be amazing, and we're going to leave FIFA. And it's all of this plotting, and it's about the infighting within the team, saying, oh, we can't do this because then we'll be told off by FIFA. And it's just sort of them all coming together to create this super league, as you sort of think, but in Colombia. Not the Super League that almost happened a year ago. This league that they're gonna make, and it's all mm-hmm. and then yeah, it's that. I wanted to also throw in some, like, oh, it's a distraction from the Civil War. But right now I don't really want to do any war stuff. I just want to do,
yeah.
Oh, let's create a league. That's my idea. It's really crap. I'm really sorry. That's like the worst idea I think I've ever had on here.
To be fair, I will say, I had a very similar thought about the whole kind of, I very much with this one wanted to focus on sport, though hopefully by the time this episode is out, your references to the Civil War will hopefully be a thing of the past that we can all, look back on, not with fondness, but just back on.
Yeah.
Not currently think about.
Yeah. We all live in hopeful optimism. I think, Sean, honestly, you're talking about a round table discussion. You're talking about coalitions. You're talking about, I think that with a little bit more working and a little bit more rugged interrogation as to like what you actually, maybe putting something like you actually want to talk about something that is relevant today or something like that, that maybe this could be a really good idea. I think it's something that would sit well with something like the National Theatre.
Well, yeah. it's still relevant because halfway through my like rant about they're going to create a Super League, I realised, like, oh God, some of the top... It's still relevant because some of the top European teams literally have tried to do something similar to this last year. They sort of got around the table and were scheming. So it's still relevant, but maybe you could do something fun with it because, you know, because it's in the past and it ends up being like a real crazy period. So you could go crazy. You could go a little farce and humorous with it. And like the idea of like, I'm going to sign all the best players in the world now. And just, and then you get another guy. He's like, just like looking at like all of the Peruvian players. And he's like, I'm going to get all of them. I'm going to have all of the Peruvian players in my team.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that could be a really viable idea to write it for a theatre that likes these kinds of things, like the National Theatre or the Bristol Old Vic, or I think it would be picked up as a commission from shows like that. I mean, to be blunt, I'm not going to want to go to it. It's not the kind of show that I enjoy, or, you know, we're going to discover how little I know about football and leagues and stuff in a minute. But I think that as an idea, I think it might have more legs than you give it grace for.
I don't think this is about that knowing football. I think the real key aspect for this period of time in this football is that they've told FIFA to... Well, FIFA have told them to do one, and that, you know, and they've gone, well, we don't need FIFA, we can just go crazy on our own.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like, it's sort of like that spirit of rebellion, or that spirit of, I don't care, I'm going to do this. And then eventually you realise that, look, if I don't follow the rules, I win. And that's the moral of my story, is that if you don't follow the rules... If you break them, you win. There we go.
Brilliant kind of
maverick-y. This should be a documentary, by the way. When you actually read it, it's like, why has no one made a documentary?
Yeah.
Well, funnily enough, I was going to bring up that also with this, if you want to see something about Colombian football contrasting and comparing it to kind of like real world events happen at the same time. The documentary The Two Escobars is a pretty good one.
Yeah, I mean,
it's about kind of like the drug war in Colombia with Pablo Escobar, contrasted with at the time the 1994 World Cup with the Colombian team led by Andres Escobar.
Look at him with his axe. Look at him.
He's bringing it in. Yeah. There weren't enough opportunities, especially for a Colombian article, for Joe to put in his voices in the summary of the article.
See.
Right. So that's my idea. Who is next?
I'm going to put my foot down in saying that, because otherwise I will forget my pitch. And also, I think a little bit of a segue is this idea that, you know, the article's not about football, because that is very much the angle I took. So I have, as Sean's been pitching, learnt more about this idea of leagues and what did you call them? Like licenses or registrations that you...
Player registrations.
Selling people. That's all I ever hear is selling people. And I'm not necessarily for that. It always kind of has a weird edge. But that's not what my show is about. So I was reading the article and realizing that I don't know a lot about how all of that works. I know how to play football, not very well, but I don't know how. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, did you not know Gem
loves football?
I actually don't. I used to.
It'd be so you know, it'd be really interesting. If I just asked the both of you, can you explain offside? It'd be really interesting to see what
you've told
we get
me.
From the pair of you
or somebody has explained offside to me.
Offside rule.
I know. The offside rule is when you have to have a defensive player of the other side be ahead of the ball at any one time or something like that. Or if the ball goes beyond the final defence player, then it's offside. Something like that. It's got
you
lines.
You can't shoot on goal
if there's no defensive player between. Defense. There you go. Shooting. That's the one. I was nearly there, Sean. You're looking at me like, wow, she's actually knew a little bit more than I thought she would.
I haven't said if you're right or not, Jeff.
Yeah,
well,
to
I'm
be fair, we can
a
both
rule.
Be wrong.
It's describing a rule that,
yeah,
that is
but
in
to be fair, this is 90% of what I do. It's say things confidently and hope neither of you call me out on it.
I'm
pretty
not
much.
Saying anything.
But more, I did play football like in PE lessons, and it was quite fun. Outside of the times when me and my best mate were pitched against each other and we beat the crap out of each other. Anyway,
fun fact about me with football that I'm sure Sean will completely understand at this point. I was always really good, actually, at one particular bit of football, which was penalty shootouts. Because
you get in the way.
No, because I have no idea what I'm about to do, so the goalie doesn't either.
Improvises ways.
There is no way of me predicting what my feet are going to do, so they have no way of reading where the ball's going to go.
I really, really like admire the way that you approach life, Joe.
The world is chaos. Embrace it.
I'm just going to say one thing. I feel like if someone's watching this and saying, oh, well, Joe knows nothing about football. Joe, tell everyone who your favourite footballer is. And then they'll know that you know your football.
What? Tony Cascarino?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Emil Heskey.
I was going to say Emil Heskey because that's who you thought I was going to say. Thought I'd throw you off again.
Well, if... times we talked about
I was
Emil
tempted
Heskey.
To try and curry favour with you by saying Trent Alexander-Arnold, but...
Oh, wow. Who...
Okay.
You know Trent?
Okay, so if you're watching this, you'll have seen the look on my face, which proves how little I know about football. So,
Gem, now we've had just discussion about football. Do you want to not talk about football?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about how I turned a non-Wikipedia, it's a Wikipedia page, into a not a thing about football. So I don't understand how leagues work. I don't understand how all of that works, the internet politics of it. But the one thing that politics is always sort of underwritten by, is humanity. And I feel very much like I'm giving a political speech right now, but the idea that I have is, the thing that I latched onto is there are this list of players that were moved on from their original teams. They were separated, essentially. And I am quite intrigued by this idea of, what if we come in smack bang in the middle of this story, there's a civil war happening, or there is a conflict of whatever is happening. I kind of want the piece to be timeless and or more around, Sean's looking like he's like,
no,
dread.
I've just had a really stupid idea. I'll give my own
pitch
idea.
It later as a little bonus well. Pitch. But, I want the piece to be quite timeless and to be able to be adapted very easily to reflect modern times, but on the backdrop of conflict, whether that's civil war or war, or any other kind of conflict that we might come across, I'm really intrigued by this idea of the last kickabout. It's, you know, your last five players, and taking them as these players, right, basing them on the players that are listed in the article, and how they've all been taken, sold, bought, whatever, by other teams, but they used to be on the same team. And they've just come back to the stadium, back to their training grounds, back to the local football park, right? And it's them having their last kickabout together as they discuss, like, how they got into football, what it means to them, their position in life, and where they think they're going to go. And it really tap into that real human story of this idea that sometimes life and things out of your control can take you away from what you're used to and can change the direction of your life. And there is great rebellion and great excitement in that, but there is also quite a lot of pathos. And I really wanted to tap into that idea of, you know, a load of lads coming together to express love for one another, you know, and the whole I miss you sentiment, but also sit and chat football and sit and chat life and chat, you know, those the relationship you have with the backdrop of this conflict. So it's a cast of five with a ball, and they kick it about. And I really wanted to set it in either a stadium or your local football park, wherever you can, you want to put it on, in a way that feels like, you know, we can come and we can, in the round, set these five people, or even if it's in a stadium, mic them all up and feed it out to everybody sat in the stadium, so they're seeing it from afar, so they feel more like they're eavesdropping on a conversation. And if it's in the local, you know, little park, have them sat. You've always got a bit of a bandstand area or a bit of a sit down area. Feed them through, whether it's through headphones or whether it's through actual speakers and mics out to the audience. But yeah, so it's the story of these five guys who are based on the actual players, and how they are navigating this idea of change and this idea of great excitement due to that and great rebellion, but they're on the cusp of greatness. That's my pitch. What do you think?
Gemma, important question. Messi or Ronaldo?
I think Messi has been in the news for good reasons. Whichever one is the one that's like really good
at.
The one that like hurt cats? Because that person can go screw themselves.
No, that's a West Ham player. Messi's never playing for West Ham.
I know that because you are you, Sean. I should choose whomever plays for Liverpool.
None of them. Neither of them.
Well.
I see what you've done. Can I just check one thing? You don't think these players were taken to Colombia against their will, do you?
No, they're Colombian, okay. They're Colombian players who are then just taken to other football clubs, right?
No, that's okay. Not what happened.
Well, it's the last kickabout before life changes.
I like it though. Which it's like it'd be really cool because you could have like a you know what you remind me of. I remember I saw this really shit play. But it was written by, you know, Steven Berkoff. Steven Berkoff is the greatest. And he was in it as well. And I thought, oh, I should probably go see this because Steven Berkoff. And it was basically six dead famous actors. So like one of them, I think Berkoff played Olivier. And it's them just like hanging out. Yeah, of course he did. Hanging out in heaven and like sort of like trying to one up
yeah.
each other. Yours is like the football equivalent of that, but before they've like had that game that made them famous.
Yeah.
I like that.
And like I quite like the idea that like if it could be quite reactive to maybe it's not the guys that are in this show, maybe if something big happens where, I don't know, like an underdog football team are doing well or something, that we can, you know, sit there and go, well, what if we make it Ronaldo and Messi and have them all together and talking before they were Ronaldo and Messi? And yes, I'm saying those names because those are the last ones that you said to me. So, okay. But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. Joe?
The weird thing about this is I actually can't think of anything to question about it because I actually kind of like this idea.
Boom. boom, boom. Have I finally hit an idea that we want to cut out the show because we want to do it?
No.
That's fine. That's fair. I don't want to do it either. I think it's a really sweet idea. I just...
It's one of these things where it's like, I can't interrogate much because what I kind of like about it is it's such a kind of low concept, low stakes idea in a way.
I'm sitting here going, if I saw this in a listing or if somebody pitched it to me, I'd be like, oh, I'm so glad that play's in existence. But I don't want to go see it and I don't want to do anything with it. So if anybody wants to do it because they love it, there you go, free idea.
Just give us free tickets.
Yeah.
We'll take the tickets and like a producer sort of like credit on the programme.
At least the
special thanks to Fear the Pitch podcast.
There you go. Cool. Joe, what's your podcast?
What's my podcast? Well, it's this one. but my idea. So kind of like Sean, I've taken inspiration from film, the world of film for this one. But also weaved into it the world of theatre as well. For a long time, I have believed that of the many films that have been adapted to the stage, I do not yet understand why no one's given us an adaptation of the Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill kind of maths of the world of baseball movie, Moneyball. Because Moneyball has that quintessential quality of, in Sean describing the difficulty of translating the electricity of sport to the stage or into the screen, Moneyball has two major advantages here, which is one, it focuses more on the behind-the-scenes machinations of it and on a kind of fascinating approach to changing the way in which baseball scouting was done at the time. And it also has the secondary advantage that it's much easier to translate baseball's excitement, because baseball is dull as sh. And that is a fact, not an opinion.
Babe Ruth wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but the sport as a whole is very dull.
I only know of one. It's the players that make the sport. Yeah.
But my other hallmark for this is, are you both aware of the play This House?
No.
This House was a production done at the National by the playwright James Graham. And it essentially charts the late 60s through to the early 80s in British politics, looking at the whips offices of the Labour Party and the Conservatives Party, and the kind of like interplay between these two offices. And it's a fascinating one in terms of it's like a two and a half hour play, but it manages to somehow cover both the personal, the emotional, but also on the grand scheme, like the political, the micro and kind of major cosmic machinations of the world of British politics through focusing on these individuals. And I think that taking a similar approach to kind of like combining the facts-based way of exploring behind the scenes of the world of football in Colombia at the time, but combining it with that kind of energy, with the live performative elements, and that way of focusing in on the offices of the various like club management, could be an interesting way of telling this story while focusing on some rather fascinating behind the scenes going on without having to really worry about how to portray the football on stage. Because quite frankly, we can just use clips from the old matches.
So it sounds very fascinating. What's the show?
It's about the management of the league, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's the management of the league itself, looking at how they kind of, you know, split off, how they formed their own league, all the interplays within it of different clubs kind of trading people constantly, and how just this kind of this lightning in a bottle that they captured in creating something incredible in taking a gamble on building their own league.
and like realizing that, oh, not following FIFA rules plus all this drug money means we can have any player we want.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like it's leading towards what is in my mind a bittersweet ending, which is them being accepted back into the rule of FIFA, but at the loss of what is considered the golden age of football. Because, you know, no one really has... I don't know of anyone, Sean, you might be able to school me on this, but has really talked about very much excitement on a national level in Colombian football since. As in, like, on an international scale.
I don't know. I don't really follow. I don't really follow international football, so I don't really.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
But so, yeah.
But Joe, how does this show manifest, and how is it different from Sean's?
So the essential way it is that it's using kind of like. It's essentially, one, it is just a front-on theatre performance. It always is with me, unless I say otherwise. I think that's clear at this point. But to answer how it manifests, it is looking at the very specifically the manager's office and the people within it, but also the processes by which this league gets set up in itself. And it's less looking at the actual players and the clubs, but more at the management of the league itself.
Okay. Am I missing the...
No, I know it sounds boring, but like Moneyball is a really great film.
I get what you mean about... I'm not sure I can really explain how it's different to Sean's idea. And to be honest, I don't want to bother because it makes the smush easier.
Okay, well then let's cut to the smush. Why is it different from Sean's?
Do you want
to
know my idea?
Yeah, Sean, give us your stupid idea.
My stupid idea. So you were going on about how like at the end of this, all the players had to be given back. So like, obviously, at the end of this period, FIFA was like, okay, you're back with us now, but you have to give back all them players that sort of like you've taken. And, you know, if you were still under FIFA rules, then you wouldn't have got them players. So you need to offload them, right? So my idea is, and they had like 5 years to do that. So my idea is, it's a musical
based
in the last days of that 5 years where they're like getting the players out with the backdrop of a civil war. It's a Miss Saigon parody of them giving the players back.
Okay, well...
Okay, I'm glad we're not having to smush that.
So let's cut to the smush, because I'm very aware, I know Moneyball was amazing. And I'm just feeling... And maybe it's just because I don't understand how football is managed and anything that happens off of the pitch. So how is it different? What's the smush? Tell me.
Well, the difference is really Joe's. Mine was more about like the creation of the league and all these crazy chairmans. Like, let's just do it. And Joe's is more like the day to day, like how that league actually like was.
Okay.
And how like the chaos of it just like kept going and going and going.
Okay, yeah. And then mine was about the actual players. So we've got a nice spread of insight into the full world. Has anybody got a smush?
No.
I think I've got a smush.
All right.
I think it's a bit of a cheat of a smush, but I think because we have all three elements of people covered. I wonder if we do it at like a stadium. And the first bit you see is Sean's bit. And then you have that in, I don't know, an appropriate place in the stadium. The cafe, I don't know. And then you are led to the next part, which is, okay, well, that's been established. The league has been established. and we come to Joe's show, and then we end on something that's like my show, or we can mess around with the thoughts. But the idea is that it's kind of like, I feel like these ideas would complement each other if they were all smushed into one, and they'd throw, you know, different perspectives on, they'd throw different perspectives on the whole industry slash situation, and they throw different colors into the palette of what this, or what the world of this play might be.
So it's an immersive piece set in a stadium where
it's not immersive, it's on promenade.
It's a promenade. It's a stadium tour within a stadium with theatre.
Yes.
Okay. We should probably end this podcast as quick as we can. I feel like this is a real low point for us all.
I think we've given good shows, but I unless think I'm also being hear, kind.
I've just thought of a complete...
Just go for it, Joe.
All right. So my alternative worse, smush mate. Is a new play that kind of combines all of this. It is a play with a soul focus that provides the kind of like focus on the personal elements while also being able to explore the office, being able to explore the management, everything around it. And it is simply called El Dorado or The Referee's a Wanker. And it is a play based around one referee whose final game happens to also be the final game of the golden age of the El Dorado football. And it's through this we see how Colombian football developed over the ages through the football games that he referees.
I think that's just a whole new different show that doesn't encompass anything else that anybody said in this podcast. But yep. There you go. If you've listened this far, let us know which one you think is better. Sean's bit about politics, my bit about people. Joe's bit about
politics.
Office.
Where was Sean's about politics?
plotting to take over the world. That's politics, right? At least to some people. Or Sean's musical, or my on promenade, or Joe's referee thing. Sean, Joe, somebody take over and tell us all about social media.
I'm trying, Gemma, but you're talking about politics.
Right. While I load up the randomizer on our online encyclopedia, Gem. Sean.
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Where can we find OFITD online?
If you, for some reason, want to support us, and if you've got to this point, then you know what I mean? You might as well just hit like, share, and subscribe, because you've wasted 15 minutes of your life, and you might as well do it just so it's like, oh, there was a point to all of this. And if you want to carry on.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for supporting.
I'm just going to say one thing. If you like this episode, then I promise you there are better ones. Okay, and to find them better ones, go to the link down below, or just simply go to Linktree, OFITD, where you'll find our YouTube, podcast feed, our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Boom. And if you want to follow me, I don't know why you would, but on Instagram, it's still Shawnee B. And if you want to follow Gemma on Instagram, Twitter, Gemma, where can I do that?
You can do that on OFITD_JEM.
Ooh. And if you want to follow Joe on Twitter, where can they do that, Joe?
If you want to follow me, you can do so at Not Joe Ronchka. That's NotJoeRacZka.
Don't you have a LinkedIn as well?
Well, I have a Linktree on there, yeah. Linktree, that you can find out everything else I'm up to. You can also find my LinkedIn if you want. Just Google Joe Ronchka. It's the first thing that comes up.
Just stalk him. Just stalk him to hell.
And,
Joe, what's our next article?
Next week.
Save us,
we're
Joe.
We're going to be talking about Tour Total.
What?
Tour Total, previously known as Tour Elf from 1985 to 1989, then Tour Total Final Elf from 1999 to 2003, is an office skyscraper located in La Défense, Courbevoie, the high-rise business district west and adjacent to the city of Paris, France, It is designed in a modern architectural style.
Wait, this is a skyscraper. I thought like Tor Total. I was like it seemed more action movie with Vin Diesel.
Well, it could be if that's your pitch. Cool. But yeah, we are talking next week about a skyscraper in Paris or near to Paris.
Well, good luck, guys. Thank you, anybody, for listening. Tune in next week for the car crash that is Tor Total. Bye!
And knock it out the pitch, everybody.
It's not like we did that, or we're going to do that. But
yeah, I was gonna say kick it out the pitch, but then I thought that'd be pretty difficult, and also I couldn't be bothered to try and get my foot up that high.
It's not a pitch either.